Shalom Aleichem to all who are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit podcast. This is Les Aaron Gosling teaching nothing new, but all things original. A messianic voice, crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord Yehovah. Make the beaten path a smooth and straight highway, clear the road for our God's soon advent. The later neglected fragmentary writings of the prophet Jeremiah were included as the last six chapters in the volume of Zechariah, or Zechariah. This inclusion into prophetic writings of threatened literature was an effective procedure widely used by ancient rabbis as attested to in their own writings. Baba Batra 14b, Vachira Rabbah 15.2, Machot 24b, cited in W. H. Lowe, the Hebrew Student's Commentary on Zechariah 1881, page 16. Professor Joyce Baldwin informs us that Cambridge scholar Joseph Mead, who died back in 1638, first noted the statement by Matthew Levy in 27 verse 9 of the Gospel of Matthew, which sourced Jeremiah in a free translation as the author of his quotation. 18th century British scholars, including such notables as Bishop Richard Kidder, Archbishop William Newcomb, William Whiston, agreed with Mead's assessment, and all of them for a wide variety of different reasons. I would also point people who want further information to William Smith's Dictionary of the Bible, 1884, page 760. In the last six chapters of Zechariah, Jeremiah forecast an age to come in which the end time straggling remnants of Israel and Judah would make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael to occupy a largely vacant promised land, and at which time the city of Jerusalem would be considered by the nations of the world a burdensome stone and a cup of trembling or poison. Zechariah 12, verse 2 and 3. In the royal restoration of the kingdom of David, which will soon take place, the military governors will finally stop seeking to placate Arab Semites and Euro-American New World Order fascist Edomites, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, or better, Spirit of Holiness, will pour forth from the throne of God unto the inhabitants, Jew and Arab, of Jerusalem. Zechariah 12, 5-10. The outpouring of the Spirit will coincide with a nationwide recognition that Yeshua had been all along, and is, the authentic Davidic messianic claimant. It is written in Zechariah 12 and verse 10, "They shall look unto me whom they have thrust through, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him." Now this sudden recognition will result in a measure of deep-seated mourning which includes ritual accompaniment, implying the existence of priesthood and temple. For instance, in Zechariah 12, verse 12 and 13, "Every family apart, and their wives apart." In fact, "apart" is mentioned in these two verses alone no less than 11 times, 11 signifying the number of complete dissolution, dejection, disorder, the impending disintegration of the nation in a subsequent bloody civil war, which is demonstrated in Zechariah chapter 13. In Zechariah 12 and verse 11, it says, "In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon." Hadad-Rimmon is a reference to the location where King Josiah met his untimely death when he was slain by the Egyptian pharaoh Necho. It was an occasion of great mourning throughout the nation, according to 2 Chronicles 35, and was etched in Judah's memory for years. It's intriguing that Jeremiah penned these words in the passages under discussion in Zechariah, and he is again specifically mentioned in 2 Chronicles as one of the chief mourners of the dead king. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 25. We cannot overlook the possibility that a beloved descendant of the family of our Lord Yeshua may well be subject to a political assassination, perhaps by the hand of an Egyptian, during this coming turbulent period. Whatever the case, Zechariah 12, verses 12 to 14, has Jeremiah saying, "And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shema, or Shimei, apart, and their wives apart. All the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart." Unquote. Jeremiah proceeds in his wide-ranging prophetic account to include all Israeli families and citizens as being touched by the coming controversy over the identity of the Mashiach. And notice that he expressly mentions the house of David mourning apart. A special mention of the house of David or the house of David implies a political restoration of some magnitude. Jeremiah also calls direct attention to the family of Nathan, or Nathan, if you wish, who was a brother to Solomon, through whose line Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, was descended. Check that out in Luke 3:31. We know that Miriam had a number of sons, who may have been the ancestors of some secret Jewish families alive today. You'll find mention of that in Matthew 13, verse 55. Levi and Shema were of the priestly caste, and therefore mention of their families includes a restoration of the Mosaic priesthood. Numbers 3:21. These four families being cited by name, Jeremiah goes on to state that all Israeli families would participate in this bitter mourning, and not only will this be the case, but that mourning would involve a process of mourning apart from one another. In other words, there will be deep individual sorrow as the Jewish people recognize their part in the rejection and crucifixion of the Messiah. Matthew 5, verse 4. It is this period of restoration or restitution of which the Apostle Kepha, or Peter, speaks, proclaiming the fact that if Israel does not repent nationally, Messiah will not come. Check out Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. Now, note something most important to grasp. Did 6 million Jews die in the death camps of Nazi Europe? Did 4 million? Some of us might take a perverse delight in haggling about figures. The fact remains that millions of Jews perished in Hitler's ovens and gas chambers. When Titus destroyed Jerusalem in 70 CE, it is recorded that 1,500,000 Jews died then too, of pestilence, sword, and famine. Today, a mentally unhealthy intellectual scholarly elite are beginning to argue about those figures as well. But be this as it may, it is at this point in Jeremiah's story flow, located as an attachment to the scroll of Zechariah, that civil war erupts in Israel. 2/3 of Israel is destined to die, not, it seems, at the hands of invading Arabs, Europeans, or the coming New World Order, but at the hands of their own countrymen, fellow Jews. Tragic, but true. See also a similar prophetic flow in Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 33 to 44. It's astounding. In Zechariah 13, verse 8 and 9, we read, "It shall come to pass that in all the land, says Yehovah, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Yehovah is my God." Israel's repentance will usher in a monumental sanctification and cleansing process throughout the expanded borders of the kingdom of David. Churches of the Roman Catholic tradition, the Eastern Orthodox, and the Protestant varieties, will depart from the land. Mindless Pentecostal babbling will cease. Gibberish will no longer be tolerated. Now, please note, I absolutely do not include in this assessment the authentic gifts of the Spirit, which includes the proper use of tongues. Dreams and visions will also be revived at the outpouring of the Spirit, according to Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Certainly, in Zechariah 13, in verse 2, it is written, "And it shall come to pass in that day, says Yehovah of legions, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land." A true charismatic revival is soon to take place in Israel, with the Jewish people joyously accepting Yeshua as their Lord, Messiah, and Savior. This joyous occasion will usher in the building of the third temple and the second advent of the human face of God. The final countdown has well and truly begun. By the grace of God, you may live to see it. Paul commanded the Christians in his day and age when he exhorted them to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through to 8. I might also add to rejoice when you click on the upgrade to paid on our homepage in order to access our large store of lectures on a variety of biblical subjects. There is nothing to compare with the lectures from the BRI IMCF. You will not regret that decision. Stay tuned in order to unlock the secrets of the Bible, solve the mysteries of the biblical revelation, explore the astonishing realms of infinite intelligence, enjoy the advancement you will attain as a spiritual being having a human experience in this material world. We invite you to traverse the contents of this ancient book we call the Holy Bible to gain a unique insight into the Jewish scriptures. If you are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit podcast for any of these reasons, welcome then indeed. It is high time to restore all things, and we thank you for allowing us to serve you in this manner. This is Les Aaron Gosling saying Kol Tov to all who love the Lord Yeshua.